Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
Have your Bible, your book of instruction before leaving earth. I invite your attention to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. When you found it, I ask you stand to honor the reading of God's word. I shared with us once before, but particularly after they had come out of exile, they had not heard the word of God for so long. When the word of God was read to them without being instructed, they stood to hear the word of God and to honor and reverence the word of God. And so that's why we invite you to stand to honor the word of God. Isaiah chapter number 40, beginning at verse 1. I'm reading 1 through 11 from the New International Version. Here is what it says. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You bring good news to Jerusalem. Lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Do me a favor, as I ask us to do every Sunday, put a smile on your face. Put a smile on your face. You just put your hand in your pocket and smile under the knowledge that you didn't know was there. Kind of smile on your face. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, good morning. Glad to see you. Glad in church. This morning's sermon is help is on the way. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. I want you to look at them happy. Smile at them. Say, neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is help is on the way. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Help is on the way. If you're on Facebook at all, there's a comedian that says that at the end of these little comic things, he'll begin to sing a song. Help is on the way. Today's sermon is help is on the way. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray the Lord that I decrease and that you increase mightily. These your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me. Spirit divine. God, I pray now that you will prepare the minds and the hearts of your people to receive your word. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Help is on the way. One of the most powerful words in the English language is the word help. Help is a word that admits that you are in a deprived state, that you are in a needy state, and you need something that you can't get for yourself. And so help suggests that I am in need. This man by the name of Dr. James Merritt, he described help this way. He said, help is the cry of a mother with four children, three dogs, and two cats after a week at home while the husband was away on a business trip. As soon as she sees him, help! I'm tired of these children, these dogs, and this cat. Help! Is the cry of a man sitting at a table surrounded by a stack of unpaid bills, hungry children, and an empty bank account with no job in sight. Help means something. Now, maybe you don't have dogs for children or the cat. Maybe you have a job but still got bills. You know there's money in the bank, but you still need a little help. But maybe those aren't your situations. Maybe there are times in your life when you go through situations and circumstances where you know what it means to look up to heaven and say, God, I need you to help me. Has anybody ever had to ask God for help? God, student loans are due. Help me. God, I got an exam. Help me. God, I need this promotion. Help me. Help admits that I'm in a place where I can't do it by myself. Brothers and sisters, as we look at our own lives, or even as we look at the country that we're in, the situations that we are experiencing, whether it is in California, Chicago, Baltimore, or DC, the reality is we need God to help us. We can't make it without God. Many of us have tried it on our own before and have to admit, God, I need you to help me. As we look in the text today, we're going to learn a little bit about how to respond when help is on the way. And when help is on the way, what comes with that help? Here we are in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is divided into two parts. If you're taking notes, please make sure you remember that Isaiah is divided into two parts. The first 39 chapters deal with judgment. And the second part deals with forgiveness and deliverance. The first 39 chapters deal with sin, but the last 27 chapters deal with a savior. There are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. Maybe for those who've read the Bible a little bit, you are already seeing how it relates to your Bible. Many people see Isaiah as a small version of the Bible. There are 39 chapters in the Old Testament and 27 chapters in the New Testament. 66 books in all. The Old Testament often deals with the sin of the people of Israel, and the New Testament deals with the Savior, which comes to help. There is a distinct difference in the tone in the message that happens in chapter 40 of Isaiah compared to the first 39 chapters of Isaiah. The first part of the book is filled with tales of destruction. But then in chapter 40, Isaiah says, help is on the way. My brothers and my sisters, there's three things that I want us to note here in this first 11 verses. First of all, we see when the king comes, comfort comes. When the king comes, comfort comes. When they are experiencing the trouble of being exiled in Babylon. The people who Isaiah is writing to, they had lost their home. They had been separated from loved ones. They did not need another message of destruction. They needed comfort. They needed someone to tell them that help is on the way. They did not need somebody pointing a finger at them and saying, "I told you so." They needed to hear that God still cared about them. There comes times in our lives when we experience difficulties, and the last thing we need is for a joker who has been around us to say, "I told you so. I told you it was going to work. I heard you the first time. You don't have to tell me again. I knew that, but right now I need to know how I'm getting out of what I am in." You know, there's some people like that in your life. You know who they are. They can always remind you of all the bad things you have done, all the bad decisions in your life. And every time you see the phone ringing, it's that number. I'll be all right. I need for somebody to let me know that help is on the way. There are times when we just need to hear that God still loves us. And that's what's happening in the text. The word of God comes to Isaiah saying, "Comfort my people. Speak kind to them and let them know that trouble don't last always. Let them know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy does come in the morning." Isaiah has the job of letting them know that their deliverance was on the way. This was the work of God. It wasn't because they did a whole bunch to deserve it, but it was solely out of the kindness and unmerited favor of God that he's willing to come and to deliver them. But first, before God comes to deliver them, something has to happen. The way has to be prepared. In a vision, Isaiah heard someone shouting in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised and every mountain hill made low. The rough ground shall be level, the rugged plains plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." God is on his way to help his people. God is coming to fix what troubles the people. God is coming to comfort his people. Make way, because God sees what his people are going through, and he's not simply standing or sending an angel. He's not simply sending a word, but in this situation, Isaiah says, make way, God is coming himself. In ancient times, when there was no 495, there was no 295 with backed up traffic, there was no nice paved highways. History tells us that months before a king would come on his journey, a call would go out before him to prepare the way for the king. Make straight the way in the wilderness, and in essence, build a highway, because the king is coming. The people would run before the king to remove any obstacles and to fill in any rough places in the ground. They would build a road and fill in low valleys. They would dig through hills so that the king would have a smooth process on his way. The reward was to see the king come in all of his splendor. In this passage, God is on his way. The people are in slavery in a foreign land, but God is on his way. He will come to them and deliver them from their captivity, bringing them to their homes, and he'll bring them back to their homes on a smooth highway. The picture is one of God coming in glory from Jerusalem to bring his people back to himself and to their home. And as we are in Advent season, a season when we remember that the Lord is on his way, God sent me by to let you know this. He sees what you go through, but take comfort, because help is on the way. He knows your struggles, but take comfort, because help is on the way. He sees the injustice that you face, but take comfort, because help is on the way. He sees the difficulties of your life, but take comfort, because help is on the way. Isaiah has to say to the people who are struggling in a foreign land, the king is on his way. It's good news, brothers and sisters, to know that God will show up when you and I are in need. It's good news to know that our God doesn't just call somebody to help us, but he's willing to show up in the midst of our troubles. He's willing to come and to see about us. There is a movie with Martin. It's called Big Mama's House. Big Mama's House, maybe you all have seen it. Martin is an undercover detective. And so Martin is in essence trying to play nanny for these children. And they're pretty bad children. There's one that's a teenage girl. She don't need a nanny. She can control her own life. She's good to go. And she sneaks out to go to this party that she should not have gone to. The girl found herself in trouble. Didn't know what to do, didn't know how to get out of it. She was in trouble, but what she did was she called, even on the person that she didn't like, she called on Big Mama. In the story, Big Mama shows up at the house where the girl is. Like some of our grandmama, mama and them, she shows up and she does what most big mamas would do. She shuts the place down because now Big Mama is concerned that her baby might be in trouble. And Big Mama comes to where she is and rescues her. And before she even rescues her, the little girl seeing Big Mama show up, let her know that everything gonna be all right. My brothers and my sisters, God ain't a Big Mama. God is the one who sits high and looks low. But whenever he sees his children in trouble, God doesn't mind even stepping out of heaven to come to your and my rescue. The king is on the way. But wait, there's more. The king doesn't just come to rescue and to comfort his people, but the king deals with those who have oppressed his people. Here it is. Secondly, brothers and sisters, when the king comes, justice comes. When the king comes, justice comes. The king of Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon, looked like it was, in essence, too big to fail. No one could even imagine somebody defeating the great army of Babylon. Their system had worked well for them, and it looked like nobody could change it. The splendor of Babylon was breathtaking. It had amazing buildings. It was known for its hanging gardens. As a matter of fact, that was one of the seven wonders of the world, the hanging gardens there in Babylon. Nobody could imagine that Babylon could be defeated. Babylon the Great. God wanted his people to know that all men are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers falls because the Lord breathed on them. In other words, they're nothing for our God. God is saying that no matter how powerful the Babylonian army appeared, no matter how powerful the Babylonian system appeared, they were nothing but grass. He determined their time and their place, and when he blew on them, they would wither away. And this is exactly what's happening in the text. The Babylonians, who seemed so powerful, were defeated. They thought nothing could happen to them. They were so sure that they were safe that they didn't even put a guard on their walls. But when you read Daniel chapter number 5, it tells that while their rulers were drinking and having a party, the Persian army simply dried up the river and walked in and took the city in one night. Isaiah wants us to understand that when God shows up, he doesn't just comfort the oppressed, but he shows up to right the wrongs of society. He shows up to not just comfort his people, but to set in place justice. There's a story of a little boy I like to talk about, Johnny. Johnny was a little boy who, at 6 years old, he would sleep in his own room, but Johnny would get scared at night. Johnny would hear something outside of his window, and it would scare him. So Johnny would wake up, and he would scream in terror and fear. Father would rush in. Son, what's wrong? Daddy, something is outside of my window. I can hear it trying to get in. His father would look outside the window, saw nothing there but a tree. Son, no, it's fine. Go on back to sleep. Johnny would try to fall back to sleep. Next day, Johnny would scream, help, because something is trying to get in my room. His father would rush in, concerned with his son. Son, what's wrong, Dad? dying to get in.
The son is scared.
And when his son saw the dad, his son got a little bit of comfort. But his father realized, I can't just keep running in to comfort him. I've got to remove what's causing the problem for him. And so the dad looked out and he saw the tree. He realized that the tree branches were hitting the boy's window. The tree branches were scaring the boy. Next day, he said, Johnny, come outside with me. I want you to do a little something. Johnny began to see his father going to the garage and his father got a chainsaw. His father began to cut back at the tree. Cut back at the tree. He said, Daddy, why are you cutting back at the tree? He said, son, I didn't just want to comfort you when you felt scared. I want to remove what caused the problem for you. And every night when you're waking up, it's because this tree branch is hitting your window. And I didn't just come to comfort you, but I came to remove what caused the problem for you. My brothers and my sisters, when the king is on his way, he doesn't just come to comfort, but he comes to correct an injustice. The king is on his way to fix the scales of life. I get happy about it because I know that when the king comes, he doesn't just come to comfort me and to see about me, but he comes to remove that which has hurt me. When the king comes, he doesn't just come to deliver me, but to remove whatever held me. And somebody here this morning, you need to know that when the king shows up in your life, he's not coming just to comfort you, but he's coming to correct wrongs that have been done to you.
Yes, sir.
You know that in your own life, there have been times when you've experienced injustice and wrong. The joy in the text is this, that our King, our Savior, is willing to come to our rescue and not just pull us away from what caused the problem, but to remove what caused the problem. So while it may be hard now, just know that help is on the way. While it may look like bad news right now, my brothers and my sisters, know that help is on the way. When you turn on the television and you watch the news or read the newspaper and you see the problems that's happening in our society for this Advent season, I want you to remember that help is on the way. Isaiah wants them to know that while you may be held captive in a foreign land, the king is on the way to see about you and to bring justice to those who are oppressed. Now, while they can build a wall, it won't stop God. While they can have any amount of law enforcement, it won't stop God. There is no army large enough to stop the king. There is no judicial rule that can stop the king. Isaiah says, take joy because help is on the way. I'm on my way out of here. Not only is there comfort when the king comes, not only is there justice when the king comes, brothers and sisters, there is also strength when the king come. Later in this chapter, Isaiah wrote this. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. And then he says this. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Those who were in exile found hope in knowing that the king was on his way. Those who were in captivity found strength in knowing that the king was on his way. They could lift and stand again. They could sing again. They could rejoice again because their king was on the way. Knowing that the God we serve is on the way ought to bring strength to us. Knowing that our help is on the way ought to give us strength to run on. Knowing that the king is on the way gives me strength to hold my head up and to keep pressing on to see what tomorrow will be, because help is on the way. There was a childhood story that many of you all may remember. It's called Humpty Dumpty. One preacher, he sang this part. I can't sing. I'm just going to tell you the story. You know how it goes? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men, they tried as best they could to put Humpty back together again. And no matter what they tried to do, they were not successful in putting Humpty back together again. But the story changes when it says that the king came. The king came, and when the king came, he was able to put Humpty back together again. My brothers and my sisters, when you reflect over your own life, the reality is in life you may have had some falls, and all your friends, grandmama and homeboys and homegirls and them, may have tried to put you back together again, may have tried to fix you. But the joy in the story is this, that the king king is on his way, and what society can't fix, what mama and them can't fix, what grandmama and them can't comfort away, when the king comes, he gives you strength to run on. He comforts you, and he removes that which hurts you. My brothers and my sisters, in this Advent season, I want you to know help is on the way. Every time we get to this season, I want you to remember that help is on the way. Just as they look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, we ought to look forward to his coming again, because help is on the way. And so whatever you may be going through in life, my brothers and my sisters, understand that God sees you. God knows what you're going through, and he's willing to come and to see about you. Hold on, because help is on the way. Hold on, because God has heard your cry. Hold on, because Jesus is standing. Hold on, because angels have been dispatched. Hold on, because your breakthrough is on the way. Because with God, help is on the way. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you see us, that you know what we go through. We thank you, Lord God, that you've given us an example in Isaiah that you're willing to come and to see about us. You don't just hear our cry, Lord God, but you're willing to do something about it. Thank you for being a king who will be on the way. Thank you, Lord God, for being a king who will come and to see about us, to comfort us, to rescue us, and to set right things that have been wrong. Knowing that, Lord God, gives us strength to run on, even in this Advent season. Knowing that, Lord God, reminds us that you are coming back again. The king is on his way. Knowing that, Lord God, helps us to remember that help is on the way. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand all over the sanctuary, brothers and sisters. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. As many of you know, I'm from New Orleans, the most amazing cities in the world. Amen. My son has been raised quite well. But we remember during Hurricane Katrina, there were people who were stranded in situations that they couldn't get themselves out of. Some people took great joy when they could hear a boat coming. They would look at their child and say, baby, it's going to be all right. Help is on the way. I know it's on the way because I can hear the boat from a distance, baby. Help is on the way. Child may have been hungry and tears filling their eyes, and when the mother doesn't know what to take to the child, they can hear the sound of a boat or the whoopers of a helicopter, and they can say, child, help is on the way. Help is on the way. My brothers and my sisters, every time we come to Advent season, we have to remember that help is on the way. It's the sound that we hear when we hear joy. World, that's our helicopter that we can hear. Help is on the way. Every time we sing during the Christmas season, and as children get excited about gifts, we ought to get excited about a gift that's coming our way. Yes. Help is on the way. Maybe you're here, my brother, my sister, and you've heard that help is on the way. You're wondering, what is this help? Let me rush to the end a little bit and simply tell you how it works out. When God says, prepare the way, Jesus is coming. God concerned himself so much about us that he was willing to wrap himself in flesh to come see about us, to come and help us. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, our help, he was born and he did a lot of good. He healed people, opened blinded eyes. The problem was the enemy tried to stop him, and the enemy was willing to crucify him. Story simply says they hung him on a cross, and on Friday he died. Not for what he had done, but he died to help us. But early Sunday morning he got up, and when he got up with all power in his hands. He got up and he had brought about justice, because he had righted the wrongs of sin and strengthened us to receive salvation. If you're here, my brother, my sister, and you never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today can be the best day of your life. Today can be the day that you can receive help that the world can't take away because the world didn't give it to you. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that today. Here at Uplift, we make it very easy for you. You don't even have to walk down to give me your hand. We simply ask you to make a commitment to God right where you are by praying a collective prayer. We're praying a collective prayer because we want you to know that you're not in a journey by yourself. The person sitting in front of you or next to you or behind you is in the journey with you. We're in this together. Simply repeat after me. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. But I accept that help is on the way. I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand of praise. Because somebody may have made a decision to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And we celebrate that. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Listen, brothers and sisters, if you pray that prayer for